Sorry about that. Your time mic isn't working properly, apparently. So, and I know that I'm quite softly spoken. Where places I go, people often say, thank you, that was a lovely word. I just couldn't hear any of it. And that's a bit dispiriting sometimes. So thank you for your very warm welcome. Thank you for inviting me. I am part of the same church that a man who I call Johnny Jones, but really you called him Jonathan Jones, which sounds much more impressive. So Johnny and I, or Jonathan and I, are leaders in the same church together in Eden Church over in Penarth. And I think it's through Jonathan, Johnny, that you come to get me today. So blame him if this doesn't work out. I've lived in Wales for 17 or 18 years, but I'm afraid I'm English by birth. You'll have to forgive me that. I have two daughters, and they were both at university aged. I can't remember what their ages are, 20 and 22. Or so that maybe gives you enough about me. You've been foolish enough to ask me three times through the autumn. I did say, really, don't you want to try me out first? But so we'll get to know each other a bit better, I guess, through the autumn. When I get invited to go to church, so I've got a sort of two-part deal with the Lord, which is firstly that I'll go wherever he invites me to go. So if you invite me, I come. That's the sort of deal that I've got with the Lord. And secondly, that I won't ever go anywhere just to tickle people's ears. So I always want and expect the Lord to tell me what he wants to say to wherever I'm going. So that's probably the good news. The slightly interesting thing is that coming to you, it was very much less clear to me than it usually is, exactly what I share. And I struggled with that through the week until yesterday morning. I felt the Lord say, well, what would you like to share with them? And I'll back whatever you decide to bring, which is, it's never happened to me before. I'm always saying, Lord, give me a word and I'll convey that as faithfully as I can. So I kind of prayed a bit more and this word came to me. And only this morning, I was looking at your website to try and find out how to find you. And I noticed your strapline, trusting in God's faithfulness. And I said, phew, thank you, Lord. So your strapline, your motto, is very much what I felt the Lord was saying to me to bring. And he said, well, what would you like to bring? And I said, I think, Lord, this. And I felt the Spirit saying, that's good. Let's do that. So if I could have the first slide. This is Proverbs 3. I'm guessing it will be familiar to many of you. And it was the king writing to his son. But I think that daughters and women can get included in this. So we could say my child, but the scriptures say my son. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. I think I'm reading from the NIV English version. I'm sorry if that's not the version that some of you use, but it'll do us for today. So, for the next 20 minutes, if you want to have a short and miserable life living in poverty, you can turn off and switch off, because what I'm going to be preaching on is from these verses, which have with them the promise of a long life with peace and prosperity. And I'm kind of tempted, but I won't, because I don't know you well yet, to do a sort of hands up. Who would like to have a long life with peace and prosperity? Thank you, Mary. But what the scriptures are saying is, if you want the secret to a life filled with peace, prosperity, well-being, this is the way to do it. So we read on, and the advice from the king is, let love and faithfulness, next slide, thank you, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. That's how important they've got to be to you. Write them across the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. So decoded, what these verses are saying is that loyalty and faithfulness should be really right at the centre of our lives as followers of Christ. And that's the secret to fulfilling our destiny, to having a good life in the sight of God and of the people who live around us. They're not on the slide, and the slide that's there can stay up there, but I'll just read on through Proverbs 3 a bit for you, because these are some of my favourite verses in the whole of the Bible. Trust in the Lord, it goes on to say, with all of your heart. This will be a familiar verse to some of you, I think. And don't rely on what you think you know. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make straight your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And this, it says, will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And it goes on two or three verses later to say, and don't despise it when the Lord disciplines you, because he disciplines those who he loves. But the underpinning of all that is this advice from King Solomon to put loyalty right at the centre of our lives. And that's what I just want to spend a few minutes talking about this morning. Now the next slide. We didn't have a show of hands, but I'll try. How long do you think in this country the average marriage lasts? One or two of you be brave. 3 years, okay. Any advance on 3? Yeah, there we are. Very good. 3 is a bit too pessimistic, and I thought maybe that you'd underestimate. So apparently, according to the government statistics, the average marriage in Britain today lasts just over 11 years, which is more than some of us might think. I think that's partly because people are choosing not to get married now, so some of the relationships which are maybe less stable, less kind of secure, you don't go through that marriage and then divorce cycle. And I'm not getting kind of critical of anybody here. Difficult things happen in relationships. But we make promises, don't we, when we get married, those of us who are married. It's one of the few kind of public promises I've ever made, along with my Cub Scout promise, that we'll be faithful for the rest of our lives. And luckily my wife isn't here, but I can actually remember my Cub Scout promise word by word. I can't quite remember my marriage vows, but I know roughly what was in them. And we aspire on that day to make it last till death is too part. But we live in a society where loyalty and faithfulness are not prized in the way that Proverbs 3 is telling us. Next slide. Go on a slide. I was reading on the BBC's website yesterday, there are relationships which last longer than marriages, and there's this article about it, and in a way it's funny, but in a way it's very sad. So on average, people's relationship with their hairdresser lasts 15 years. I don't know who collects this stuff, but let's go with it. So we're saying average marriage lasts 11 years, average customer hairdresser relationship 15 years. Your relationship with your dentist, if you're an average person in this country, also lasts longer than your marriage. And people are less inclined to change their bank than their partner. So there are areas of our lives where we're very loyal, and there are other areas, probably more important ones, where we're not. And next slide says, and if you follow football, you'll know this, one of the most insecure jobs in the country is a Premier League or a Championship football manager. I think this is up there. Average 1.23 years, so that's a year and a couple of months or something, isn't it? That's how long you can expect to be in the same job if you're a top flight football manager. And again, I'll stop these statistics in a minute and get back to the word of God, so don't panic. Apparently somebody starting in work now can expect to have 10 jobs through their lifetime. And I think I remember my daddy worked for the same paper mill right through his career. He started at 20 something and he retired at 60 something, and they gave him a commemorative mug, and that was much more normal, I think, a generation ago. Now we swap football managers, we swap jobs, we move house, marriages break down. We're in a society where this loyalty and faithfulness are not at the centre. And next slide. But God is speaking right into the heart of that, and he says, I will never break my covenant with you, Judges chapter 2, verse 1. So we have a God who is a God who makes promises with the intention and the ability and the absolute certainty that he will follow those through. We sung that just now. All promises that God makes us will be fulfilled. And as his followers, he's looking to us to reflect that aspect of his nature. And so the next slide, I just want to pull out 3 ways in which the Lord invites us and encourages us and indeed commands us to be faithful and loyal, that we might have a good and prosperous and peaceful life, and that we might witness to God's faithfulness to the people around us. And so I've called this the bonds that make us secure. And I just want to very briefly talk about three areas. Firstly, being faithful to yourself. And this was the wild card that the Lord threw in, which I didn't really expect. The others are more obvious. Faithful to others and faithful to God. Sorry about that. Next slide. So we're just going to deal with each of those. Sorry. Anyway, it's back again. That's a chameleon, for those of you who are not David Attenborough fans. It's a next slide will be a chameleon. That's not a chameleon. Thank you. Thanks for the quizzical looks. That gave me the clue, the slide, wasn't there? So that's a chameleon. It's a lizard-like creature that changes colour depending on what background it's against. Some of you know this animal? You've seen it on the telly? And it's easy to be like that, isn't it? To change who we are and how we behave and what we do and what we say, depending on where we are, who we're with, what's happening in our lives. And I just get the sense this morning that the Lord wants to encourage us to be true to who we are, to be faithful to who He's made you to be and me to be, and not to pretend to be something that we're not, and not to wish that we were something different to who we are. I'm not saying that we don't need to change and allow the Lord to mould us and change us and use us, but to be content that the Lord made you who you are because He wanted you. And you are the only version of you that He's ever made, and I'm the only version of me that He's ever made. And the people in my church will say, thank goodness for that, Steve. But to be clear about who God has made you to be and to be confident in that, and not to vary and try and make yourself something that you're not. I want to give you a couple of examples, and I don't know how often Victoria Beckham gets quoted in this church. I've never heard it in any other church before, so we're going to have a first this morning. There's Victoria Beckham, and I don't read Vogue magazine, by the way. I came across this in a newspaper, but apparently very recently Posh Spice wrote herself a letter, and she wrote now about what she wished that she could have told the 18-year-old Posh Spice. And I don't know why, but I got quite interested in this. So what she wrote was, I know that you're struggling right now. This is her writing to herself. You're not the prettiest or the thinnest. Makes you wonder who was the thinnest in her dance class, but never mind. Or the best at dancing at Lane Arts, Theatre Arts College. You've never fitted in properly. You have bad acne. You think that the principal has put you at the back of the end of year show in a humiliatingly bright purple lycra leotard, because you're too plump to go at the front. So that's what her 18-year-old self felt about herself. And then she goes on to say, but don't worry, it's going to be okay. You're going to get into a girl power band. You're going to meet a lovely footballer with a squeaky voice called David. You're going to have wonderful children. And life is going to be really good for you. So stick with it, girl. Don't be down on yourself. And there was just something about that. That's weird, isn't it? But the words of Posh Spice struck me as something that the Spirit of God would say to us. You don't see the complete picture now of what your life is going to be about, and I don't see the complete picture. And it's difficult sometimes. What's going on here, Lord? But the Lord says, stick with it. It's going to be all right. This is like half time. Don't take the score now. I don't know why I'm doing football analogies this morning. Sorry. But we don't properly see ourselves and see our lives in the midst of our lives as God sees us and our lives. And His word to us is, be true to who I've made you. I've got one other young woman, probably a different kind of body shape to Posh Spice. This is an American female Olympic athlete called Holly Mangold. And again, I was reading about her a few days ago. She had a lifelong ambition to be an Olympic athlete. And indeed, she's achieved her ambition. She's there lifting weights in the Olympic Games for her country. And she can lift an enormous weight, as you can see there. I think it was 500 pounds or something. But age 9, her ambition was to be an Olympic gymnast. And so she's fulfilled her ambition, but in a different way, perhaps, to the way that she thought. And her testimony is, I wanted to be a gymnast, but my body got in the way. And I ended up a weightlifter. Now, you read a little bit more of her backstory, and you find that she was playing American football at the age of 11. She was the only girl in the team that she was in. So perhaps the clues were there, really, about what her body was equipped to do in terms of sport very early on. But imagine if this woman had persisted with her desire to be a gymnast with what the Lord has given her. She would look odd on that balancing pole or on those, whatever they're called, the rings that hang down, which they have to swing on, or the parallel bars. But she had a different kind of purpose in life. She was equipped to be a weightlifter, not a gymnast. And the scriptures tell us this, Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. Paul says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If you're good at hospitality, do that. If you're good at encouraging, then encourage people. And just before that, it talks about the body being made up of all sorts of different people with different gifts and abilities. And Paul is encouraging us to stay true to ourselves. It begs a question for us, doesn't it? Do I know what the Lord has called and equipped us to do? And are we diligently doing that? As individuals, but I'd also say as Siloam Church, I get the sense that you do have a clear vision of what the Lord has put you here for, of what you're here to do. You tell me that I'm wrong at the end of the service, but I have a sense that you understand that you're here to serve this community and that the Lord has put you amongst the people who live around here. And the word of the Lord is stay true to that mission. Do it wholeheartedly. Don't wish that you were some other church with a different mission in a different place and a different style. The Lord wants you to be you. So let's be faithful to who the Lord has called us to be as individuals and church. Let's be faithful to others as well. This is a kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? But in a society where marriages last 11 years, where people change jobs every 2 or 3 years, we can really stand out. We can shine like stars in the dark, as Jesus said, if we exhibit loyalty and faithfulness. Loyalty and faithfulness to our family, even the difficult people in our families. Difficult times, the times when they seem deliberately to want to hurt us. Staying faithful to those around us. Staying faithful to our friends. Staying faithful to our church. I'm sure it doesn't happen in this church, but in our church, there are weeks when things don't quite go how people want. And they question, is this the church that I want to be in? It's almost like a kind of consumer mentality. I'm wondering if I should go to another church. Well, no. You need to be rooted in the church that the Lord put you. Johnny may have talked to you about this. We've had quite a theological debate over the summer about a kind of particular issue, and people have been on this side of the argument or this side, and then people like me in between, who can see four sides to any argument and don't know what we think. It's been a real interesting time because we've had to test. So has the Lord put you and you together in the same church? Yes. Do you feel that this is your home? Yes. Are you committed to it? Yeah. So are we going to continue to journey together, even though you think this about this issue and you think this? Yes, we are. We're going to stick together because we have a deeper sense that the Lord has joined us together. It's not quite like a marriage, but what God has put together, let's not break up. Let's find a way of embracing difference and respecting each other's points of view. Now, clearly there are limits to that, but they're quite way off limits, actually. And the Lord calls us to be faithful and loyal to each other, in spite of differences, in spite of disagreements, in spite of difficulties. And that can, if you've got a job, that works out in your job as well. There are people who walk away when things get tough, and there are people who stick together and stay with the team and are loyal. And I'm not saying that we should do that at any price, but I think there's a big place for loyalty and faithfulness in the way in which we live our lives among other people. And if we're like that, people will notice. If we're the people who, when the going gets tough, we don't walk away. That's a powerful testimony. And then I want to skip the next slide. Let's skip that one. That's good. And then, so faithfulness to who God has called you to be and who He's called me to be. Faithfulness to those who He's put around us and in our lives. And finally, faithfulness to God. And that's kind of a no-brainer as well, isn't it? You'd expect any preacher who was vaguely rooted in the Word of God to encourage you to be faithful to God. But again, it's interesting thinking this through. I had another revelation. I've been a Christian for as long as I can really remember, since I was 14. So you'll be able to work that out. That's about 20 years, because I'm clearly very young. But I never seen this before. It occurred to me that Jesus really didn't necessarily have an expectation that people would be faithful to him. It's kind of a new insight. And I'll show you the next slide to tell you why it occurred to me. So in the Gospels, we read that from this time, Jesus had said some difficult things to them, which they found hard to understand. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And he turned to the 12 and he said, "So do you want to leave me too?" And Simon Peter said that quite famous answer to the Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And do you remember Jesus' reaction to that? Those of you who know this part of the gospel, he was kind of, "Whoa, flesh and blood haven't revealed that to you, Simon Peter." It was like Jesus was, "Whoa, so you're not leaving me." And that actually was the experience of Jesus. Most of the people who hooked up with him, who maybe healed or they became convinced by his teaching or they saw the miracles, most of those people drifted away in Jesus' lifetime. And if we come right down to the crucifixion, who's left there at the cross? Some of the women and John, the disciple whom he particularly loved. The rest of them, as we know, have scarpered. And so it's come into my kind of awareness in the last two or three days that being faithful to God is not a given. In fact, it's quite an unusual quality and characteristic, and therefore something which Jesus prizes so very highly. So it's an easy thing to come off the preacher's lips, "Let's be faithful to God." But let's also be real and ask ourselves, how hard is that sometimes? And how well are we doing with that? Next slide. Jesus kind of spells this out. He says to his disciples just before he's handed over to be crucified, "Then you'll be handed over and persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations. At that time, many will turn away from me." It's Matthew 24. But he says, "But those who persevere to the end..." I've lost myself now. "Because of the increase of wickedness and the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Two lines up on that side. So there's a prediction, even a prophecy by Jesus, that many of his followers will fall away. And there's a need for us to be able to stand firm to the end. Next slide. There's another reinterpretation, which in 40 years of being a Christian, oh, I've let the age out now, 14 plus 40. I've never seen it this way before. So there's this interesting verse, which is David, who's quoted in 2 Samuel, but then also same words in Psalm 18, where some of his songs are gathered together. It says, "Lord, to the faithful you show yourself faithful." And I've always read that as if it's a deal. So if we're faithful to God, he'll show himself faithful to us. It's like, "You do this for me," says God, "and I'll do that for you." And I read that, and then I thought, but hang on. There's that verse from Paul where he says, if we're faithless to God, he remains faithful to us, because he cannot deny himself. He can't be something contrary to his nature, that covenant-keeping God, which I talked about just now from Judges 2:1. So if you put those two verses together, the only way to understand that, which I can see, is that in order to understand and experience God's faithfulness, we have to be in it for the long run too. So if we're one of those who stand to the end, who remain faithful, we experience and we come to see how faithful God has been to us. It's not like a reward, it's a result of being faithful to God, of keeping on, that long obedience in the same direction, the perseverance that Eugene Peterson writes about in his book. And that's where it begins to flip round. So God calls us to be faithful to him, knowing that actually for some of us at some times that will be extremely difficult. He experienced it in his earthly ministry when Jesus found his disciples and his followers so easily get distracted or discouraged and off they go. But God says, if you stick with me to the end, you'll see how faithful I've been to you through all the twists and turns, through the good times, the bad times, the tough times in your life. So that's why, maybe you can see now why I was so pleased to flick onto your website to try and find out how to get here and to see I was going to a church whose motto is trusting in God's faithfulness. I think that's a good place to be. It's not always an easy place to be, and maybe when we get to know each other better, I'll tell you a bit about my summer. But I've had a summer where I know that it's the right thing to trust in God. I know that he's faithful to me. I know all of this stuff up here. I've been around long enough. But I've had a summer where I've been praying about some things and they've just not been happening. We sing a song that, I don't know whether you sing it, if faith can move the mountain, then let the mountain move. And I felt like, I've got faith for this, Lord. Why isn't this mountain moving? Through the summer I went out every night and I prayed on my patio, even when it was raining. That's how crazy I was. And I just felt like I'm headbutting this mountain and it's not moving. And so it's not as if God is like a slot machine. We put in the prayer and out comes the answer that we want. But it is the case that in the end we'll see what God is doing. And I've had I'm telling you about new experiences. It's good, isn't it, that we can kind of continue to learn and grow in the Lord, even those of us who've been around a long time. But I've had another new experience through that over the summer. And this is my last. There's one more slide. No, one more. Thanks. I do lose touch of my slide sometimes. So final slide. Do any of you know who this is? Are you going to let on? Yeah. So this is the Brownlee brothers. And I get this the wrong way around. It's Alistair who dragged Johnny over the line. And I actually tried to download the video clip for you, but my computer and my IT skills are so poor. Okay. That I couldn't actually show you the film. But if you know how to work YouTube, it's well worth looking up the slide. So for those of you who haven't seen it, Johnny is a world-class triathlete. He was coming to the end of a race. In fact, I think if he'd won the race, he would have won the championship. But he starts to stagger, he's clearly disoriented, he's a few hundred yards from the line, and he falls into the arms of a steward or somebody on the side. And his race is finished. He's completely done in. And his brother comes running a few yards behind, says, "We're not having that." And he grabs him, puts his arm round his shoulder, and he literally pulls him along the last few hundred yards. And there's a picture of the kind of agony on the exhausted runner's face as his brother pulls him towards the line, then stops and then pushes him ahead of him over the line. It's fantastic. And it's echoed my experience of the summer. So whilst I felt, "I don't understand what you're doing here, Father God," somehow in a way which is probably not theologically sound, forgive me, I felt Jesus come along beside me and say, "I know, it's tough. I had the same experiences when I was on earth. And I'm the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And you don't understand at the moment what a mysterious, all-powerful God is doing. You don't understand actually why he's not doing the things that you want him to do. But I'm your brother who sticks real, real close. And I'm going to see you across the line, even at the point where you don't think you can keep going." And that's been powerful to me. So as I've tried and struggled to be faithful to God, and believe that he will deliver on his promises, he doesn't seem to be. Jesus has come alongside me in a way which I've not experienced before and said, "Okay, well, you've conked out. That doesn't matter. I'm going to pull you across this line." And so I had a sense when the Lord said to me, "Well, what do you want to share with them?" I thought, I'd really like to share that with them, even though they don't know me well yet, and vice versa. And so there's an encouragement there for you and for me. That if we put loyalty and faithfulness right at the centre of our lives, if we can stay true to what God has called us to be, faithful to those around us and try our best to be faithful to God, then He is always faithful to us. And you might not understand just at the moment why your mountain's not moving, but Jesus comes alongside you this morning and says, don't worry, it'll be okay. Father God knows what He's doing. I know the Father, and I trust Him. You can trust Him too. And meanwhile, I'll run along beside you. If you're exhausted, I'll prop you up. Let's walk together through this difficult time. Thank you. We're going to break.